Allah for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to continuously shower His blessings on us and not to deny us and to deprive us of any of His blessings on account of our own disobedience, on account of our own ungratefulness, on account of our own sins, and on account of our own wastage and extravagance in as far as the use of the blessings of Allah Ta'ala is concerned. Because it is no good that we make shukr on the one hand. We say, shukr, Allah Ta'ala has given me so much of good things. And then on the other hand, we go and we use those same good things in diametric opposition and conflict to the orders and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected friends and brothers, the topic was discussed at Wednesday night at our zikr program, and it was suggested that the same topic be repeated. So alhamdulillah, saves us the tension on a Friday morning of preparing an extra lecture. But the topic is very, very relevant. Inshallah, let's hope all topics are relevant. And if we have to look around us, on the face of this earth, we find Allah Ta'ala has placed lots of qualities, beautiful qualities. And all these qualities that we see here, where there's a quality of generosity, quality of forgiveness, quality of showing mercy, quality of compassion, quality of overlooking, quality of love, all these are qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these qualities, the manifestation of them, are found among the creation of Allah. In a fraction of a fraction of a fraction. Very, very small. Because these same qualities are inherently the qualities of Allah ta'ala. And they are His, and He has put these qualities on the face of this earth. And through these qualities, these characteristics, we are actually able to come closer to Allah Ta'ala, in whichever way it might be, that when we exercise good character and we conduct ourselves with beautiful conduct and with beautiful habits and noble ways, then these same things are a means and a cause of coming closer to Allah Ta'ala, finding our path to Jannah, becoming endeared to Allah Ta'ala. And there are other qualities also. If we don't exercise, or if we abandon these qualities, then it can be the means of us pushing ourselves away from the mercy and the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. So my respected brothers, there are lots of these qualities. The question is that how much of them have we inculcated? We speak of the 99 names, the 99 qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are these 99 qualities? These are the same qualities that are found in the creation. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Adopt the characteristics of Allah Ta'ala. Meaning what? That all these qualities that you mentioned, try and bring them into your life. Obviously, it doesn't make you now Allah Himself, na'udhu billah. Allah is perfect and His qualities are inherently His. We only can adopt them. So my respected friends and brothers, having spoken about this, the quality that we spoke about, and we will speak again today about, is the quality of love. And this word is used so many ways. This word is described in so many ways. If you want to read up what is love, then they say love is three dots, and it could be so many things, how a person perceives it, how he expresses it, how he feels it, whatever it is. And this is a quality that actually is functional. It makes the world function. If we didn't have this quality of love, then we will not be able to do a lot of things. It is the love that a person has for wealth. And there's nothing wrong in having love for wealth, by the way. That gets up, makes him get up and try and accumulate wealth every day. And it is the love for material things that makes him push on every day so that he can acquire those things. There's nothing wrong with acquiring and having love for material things also. And it is the love that we have for people that endears us to them, that makes us come closer to them, that makes us want to do things for them. So this love is found in different ways, and without this love, you can imagine, fellows say, I'm not getting up, I'm not getting up in the morning, I am not interested in anything. How is he going to survive? How will he acquire the good things? How will he be able to do 101 other things? How will he have anything to do with anybody? Nobody will want to have anything to do with him because he's not interested in interacting with society as such. So it's a beautiful quality that we have to have, my brothers. Then with it also we find that, yes, there are parameters and limits of love. Like I said, there's nothing wrong in having love for wealth and material things, and for children, and for family, and for whoever it might be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran that قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا. Say, if the love for your parents, for your children, for your brothers, for your families, for your wives, for your wealth, for your homes, and all of that is much more than the love of Allah Ta'ala, then await the punishment of Allah, await the command of Allah. So which means that it has to be within a certain parameter. Then also, my brothers, when we speak of it, it is expressed differently in at different levels, as we can say. Love for parents is at a different level. Love for children is at a different level. Love for brothers is at a different level. Love for sisters is a different level. Love for family and so forth, it is also at different levels. So all these things have also been dictated to us by the Sharia. But the love I want to speak about today is the love of a mother. That's all. Love of a mother. And why this topic came is, we had a tragic loss in the week. And a lot of things come to our mind. You know, when a father passes away, then they say the children are small and whatever it might be. And we say, now who's going to support them and who's going to do this? And we look at more the financial side of it. But when a mother goes away, my brothers, we talk about the love that is now being not going to be there any longer, the love that is going to be taken away. It's not there anymore. And that is such a precious, remarkable thing that it can't be found anywhere else. It cannot be replaced by any other mother. So that is the thing that was going through our mind. So we're not going to talk about respect to mothers and all. We're going to talk about, let us not take for granted this very, very precious gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the heart of a mother. Fathers also love their children. We love our kids. You know, we love them. And we sort them out in different ways with love also, alhamdulillah. But the love of a mother is something else, my respected brothers. And if we have to, you know, describe it, it is described as such love the mother has for her children that is deeper than that of the ocean, and it is higher than that of the mountains, and it is more beautiful than it found in any beautiful garden. It cannot be described, basically. That is the love that a mother has, and it cannot be replaced, my brothers. And this is not only found, let us quickly look at the animal world, the animal kingdom. And if we have to see the amount of, or the ways in which they show love for their little ones. We give the example of a person who says that there was a nest in the inner part of his house, the courtyard. A bird came and built a nest there and then gave eggs, and then afterwards the eggs hatched. And this bird was flying in and out, the mother bird, and to go fetch water from the garden there in the front. There was a little pond. And when the bird came back, the door shut closed, and this bird could not get into the house now. And he said it's flying around frantically. What the bird does, it takes water in the beak, and then comes and drops it. Those who study birds and that, you will know, it comes and it drops the water into the beak of the little babe. And it flew around until the door opened, it came inside, and then it dropped the water. So it did not let the water also go away. While it flew around frantically trying to give water into the beak of the little child, little bird. So that is what a mother is. That it'll go, she'll go through every other length, and she'll do anything and everything to try and ensure that the little baby gets its water. Once a person came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he described, he said, you know, I found little chicks in the nest, and I took them away. And I saw the mother bird coming and started flying around me in anguish and frantically. Until, according to one narration, it came and it sat on my shoulder. So the commentator is saying that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to the person that you took away the little babies of the mother, and it was flying around begging you, please, please give me back my children, please give me back my children, in its own way, how it was chirping and doing whatever it was. Until such a time it came and sat on your head that, you know what, if you have to kill me, you must kill me first, but I will make sure I get my babies from you. That is the spirit of a mother. That is how a mother actually will do and go out of her way, give her everything up for her children. Mothers also, but we talk of mother now. And my respected friends and brothers, those of us, we give the example, who had bred you know, chickens at home in the good old years before rainbow chicken and all the other chickens that came about. We used to breed them there in the yard. And then one morning you get up, you see the mother hen with all little chicks. The eggs have hatched now. And now you find that they're all running around behind their mother hen and the small chicks. And if the cat used to come, at that time you find the mother hen actually blows herself up and stands. What can a mother hen do to a cat? But look at the expression of protection and defense, that you think you're going to take these little chicks first, you're going to have to stand up and fight with me, and then you will see what happens after that. So what we are talking about is the quality of love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the heart of a mother for his little ones. And these are just three examples. If you look at and if you study animal behavior in the kingdom, animal kingdom, it's fascinating. The most fiercest animals, the most ferocious animals, whether it's tigers or alligators or bears or whatever it might be, and see when it comes to the protection of their little ones, what won't they do? So that is a beautiful note. Why we say, you know, that when that is lost, then it can't be replaced. And it is something we take for granted, because children grow up with this, you know, that my mommy is there, she'll do everything. Whatever it is, we do wrong, we do right, we listen to them, I don't listen. End of the day, to such an extent, you know, they grow up also, we have taken it for granted, we think we were entitled to it, and many times people then they neglect the rights of their mother, and they forget about their mother. That's why, my respected friends and brothers, this quality is so beautiful. Once a person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked him that, who is most entitled to my showing good character and quality, good character and rights to them? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ummuka, your mother. Then he says, Thumma man, then who? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ummuka, second time your mother. Then he says, third time, Thumma man, say, Ummuka, your mother. And the fourth time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Thumma abuka. So my respected friends and brothers, it is very clear from there that there is no way that we can actually fulfill the rights of the love that a mother shows, the compassion that she shows for her children. You see it in your home. The little fellow gets sick, and the mother will start. Go to the chemist in the cupboard. You know, they all have this chemist there. Pharmacy. Take out this medication. That thing is hardly down the throat, another one. That thing is hardly down, another one. Then they'll phone this doctor, then that doctor, and finally even the Maulana, that this child is crying whole night, or what's happening, we don't know. They say, my father, he'll say, give something. In fact, he won't even know where the medicines are, because if he sniffs a little bit, he'll say, where's my medicine? That's father. But alhamdulillah, we also care, we love our children, alhamdulillah. I always will just say that. We do love our children in a different way, alhamdulillah. So my respected friends and brothers, that is what a mother is, that is what she does. And that is how she got off her way. There's an incident mentioned that there was a quake, earthquake, good few years ago in China, and one of these multi-story buildings came crashing down, slabs, and in there, one mother and child were trapped, but in such a way that they weren't totally crushed. So it takes time, you know, when these kind of things happen, for them to remove the rubble. And after many days, more than a week, when they lifted up the slab, they found a mother clutching onto the baby, and both were alive, but unconscious. So they were taken to the hospital, and then they started treating them. And after, when they came around, they asked the mother, you know, you will get no injuries on yourself, but why are there so many cuts on your fingers, on the tips of your fingers? What was that? Were you trying to lift up the slab, or what was it? So she says, no, as long as the child was close to me, I gave the child breast milk. But the milk dried out. Then the only thing I could do was I was giving the child my little finger in the mouth. But the child is a child, he didn't know what was happening. So when he found there was nothing going down in his throat, he started crying and he was restless. So I started taking my finger and scraping it against the sharp thing there, causing the blood to come out. And then the child was sucking the blood and feeling something going down in his throat, and then the child stepped away. Masla is different now, obviously, can give blood to the children. That's not what we're talking about now. We're talking of this particular situation. So she says, until such a time that all my fingers also, because I was dehydrated, obviously, there was no more blood coming out. So she gives her last blood, drop of blood, literally, my respected brothers. That's the love that a mother has, which we must not take for granted. for our children or for the children. And then she said, afterwards, I also became unconscious and a child, and now I find myself in the hospital. You know, in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a dispute between two women. For some reason, one child went missing, and they both had children, and they both started fighting over the one child, two children, one child went missing. So they came to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam and said, we have a dispute. What's the dispute? This woman said, this is my child. This woman said, this is my child. Both are fighting for the same child. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said, okay, we'll sort the matter out just now. Allah Ta'ala granted him wisdom, a lot of wisdom. He says, what we'll do, since people are both fighting for the child, we'll just cut the child in half. So you also have half and you also have half. So the one mother said, yes, yeah, no problem, I don't mind. And the other one says, no, please don't do that. You can have the child. Sulaiman alayhi salam said, the second one is the mother, because no mother will want for her child to be hurt in any way. So he made the first lie, he gave the decision at that time. So my respected friends and brothers, these are, you know, examples that we speak about. One person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and mentioned that I carried my mother on my back and I took her for Hajj and I did the tawaf and I fulfilled all the rites and rituals of Hajj. This is the condition of my back. My shoes were finished. My feet were scraped. Everything was destroyed, was hurt. I was injured. But I brought my mother back. Have I fulfilled the rights of my mother? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no. The pain, the levels of pain that a woman experiences, you know, when she is now giving birth, then now and then they get that contractions and then the pain comes and then tightening. We don't know about it, they know about it. But how much of pain? He says, you have not, maybe you have fulfilled one right of one of those contractions at that time. So that is the love, my respected friends and brothers, that a mother has and what she goes through for her child. And that's why we say that when that love is lost, it is something that can never, ever be replaced. Then, my brothers, last point is that the dua that a mother makes for her child is definitely accepted. I have repeatedly mothers, you know, complaining this and that. I say, you phone me for dua. Mother's dua, jannat ki hawa. You make dua for your child, inshallah, the dua will get accepted. The reason for this is dua is based on sincerity. Dua is based on sincere crying out in desperation. And there is no one on the basis of what I just mentioned now who is more sincere and more desperate for their children than what a mother is for her child. That's why when that mother is not there, the door is closed. You know, the door of that beautiful dua is closed. Now, that's why we find one buzrug mentioned when his mother passed away, a voice called out to him, you better see how you walk now. You better watch your step. So he said, why? He said, because your mother's duas were the thing that were carrying you forward. Now that door is closed, you're not going to get that any longer. And no matter what is the condition of the mother, no matter how sinful, no matter how disobedient, no matter what, the sincerity with which that dua is made is so powerful and so accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is the most effective. A person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they say, I committed a major sin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, go make dua and make tawbah and make istighfar. He says, very, very big. He says, your mother alive? He said, yes. He said, go and tell your mother to make dua. From here we learn that it is mentioned that the dua of the mother is more powerful than the dua of going to some of the awliya. So this man here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told him, you go and you ask your mother to make dua for you. And the incidents are many, my respected friends and brothers. Hazrat Uwais Qarni, rahmatullah alayhi, who is the highest of the tabi'in, he came from Qarn, that was somewhere in Yemen. He came to Madina Munawwara. Before he left, his mother was old, ailing. He says, come back quick, my son, there is no one to take care of me. He comes to Medina to greet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only. He never saw, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not there at that time. So he didn't wait and stick around and say, when is he coming back? He went back because of the fear he had that his mother is all alone. And he went back and he made khidmat of his mother. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed by wahi that this person was here and he came to visit you, but he had to go back. That's all Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told. The way this mother made dua for her son, Uwais, Hazrat Sayyidina Uwais Qarni, rahmatullah alayhi, the greatest of the tabi'in, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar radiallahu anhu, this is my jubbah, my cloak. A man is going to come in later on you must give him my jubba and tell him to make dua for the forgiveness of my ummah. Because this man has taken the dua of his mother on account of the khidmat that he had made for her. So we're talking of the love, my respected friends and brothers. So, like I said in the start, in the topic, we're not saying in our topic, let us say, obey your mother, don't make her cross, don't break her heart, make her khidmat. We're not talking. We're talking about here, if this is the love that a mother has for her child, the question we ask is, do you still have to be told that you must respect your mother? Do you still have to be told you must not talk harshly to her? Do you must still be told that, you know what, you must take care of her? Do you still have to be told that you must make khidmat for her? It is supposed to be something we don't take for granted. We take it, value it, and we cannot give it enough value, my respected friends and brothers. And in that way, then, automatically, we will be able to take care of them in the manner which will not be fitting, will be fulfilling their rights, but to a great extent, inshallah. One fellow was telling us, we conclude on this, that he went to go and distribute khajur before Ramzan at the old age home. And then he asked the old ladies, that your family comes. She said, I got one son, he left me here, he hardly comes. Once in a while he comes. So in any case, he gave the khajur, he was going. She said, give me one more khajur packet, please. She said, why? So in case my son comes, I will give it to him. Dumped in the old age home. But look at the love of the mother. No matter what the child is, really, we see this on a regular basis. They get so mad at the children. Children do so many things. They upset them and they humiliate their mothers and their parents sometimes. She says, Akhir mera hi beta, he is still my son. So it's a very sincere, precious form of love, my respected friends and brothers. And if this is the love a mother has for her children, what must the love of Allah Ta'ala be for us? What must the love of Allah Ta'ala be for His creation? Allah is Al-Wadud, most loving. And if that is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's love for us, then in the same way, we don't break and disobey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq.